know why you're not on AM and FM.
Actually, I am, and that's the sad state of journalism and radio.
They're
in
digging,
Prescott,
digging deep, man.
All righty. Yeah. So we are here at the Quad Pod recording studio in the offices of Prescott E-News on Montezuma Street in Prescott, Arizona. Guy, Lynn, thanks for opening up your home away from home for us to be here for for episode 117 of the Mile High Show. Got a little bit of business to take care of beforehand. Folks, thanks for coming in. We got a few folks that came in to eat Eat Guy's Pizza. Thank you for doing that, because if you didn't, I would, and I could do that. Four pizzas back there, I could have nailed that out in a heartbeat. This past week, I cheated a little bit and reran one of our old shows, because if you can tell by my voice, this is the best it has sounded in about 3 weeks. I have been laryngitis-ized and without a voice for a few weeks, which is not good for podcasting. But my wife seemed to love it a lot. She enjoys when she can't hear me speak. So she, I think she likes that. We are brought to you today by Amazon. So you got some online shopping to do, head on over to milehighshow.com. Use that Amazon link, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. What it does is it takes you to your regular Amazon or Amazon Prime login page, and you shop away as normal, but it lets Amazon know you got there through us, and they give us a little thank you at the end of the month that helps us pay for things like batteries and recorders and gas to get over here to the Prescott eNews.com offices on Montezuma. Also brought to you by Audible. There is an Audible link at milehighshow.com as well. You can get a free audio download from over 180,000 titles, ranging from audio books, magazines, articles, lectures, podcasts, comedy, all kinds of things at audible.com. Use that Audible link at milehighshow.com. Download your free audio download and get a free 30-day subscription by using the code MILEHIGH at checkout. You know what a good one you can get is the latest release by Carrie Fisher. It is called The Princess Diarist. It is her diaries that she took on the set as a 19-year-old kid at the original Star Wars movie back in 77. I got a chance to listen to her with Terry Gross on Fresh Air a few weeks back talking about that very book. And very interesting. A lot of funny stories in there. A lot of fun stuff going on the set that previously has not been made public. So The Princess Diarist by Carrie Fisher, read by the author. You can get that for free by using the Audible link at milehighshow.com and using the code MILEHIGH at checkout. Why do I mention that? Why am I concerned about Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, and Star Wars? Is because we are here tonight to talk a little bit about Star Wars. We've got a new release coming out this Thursday, I believe, Thursday or Friday, the 16th.
16th, Thursday.
And it is Star Wars Rogue One, Maddie Henshaw. What's the official title?
You nailed it.
No, isn't it like Rogue One,
A Star Wars Story? Because it's a standalone film.
Yes.
The first in the franchise history.
It is a new addition to the Star Wars family. And that was Matt Henshaw telling us the official title. And we are sitting here with a panel of Star Wars and fantasy and sci-fi and movie and fiction fans. And let's start with Matt Henshaw. Tell us who you are and where folks can find you and why they would want to find you.
Don't want to find me. If they found me, they're probably sitting next to me in a jail cell.
Is that what's on your Tinder profile? Don't want to find me? Is that
definitely?
tell us who you are, Matt. What brought you to town, and what are you doing now?
I am a professional photographer. I am currently working for the real estate company, the Bergamini Group. I'm also the Northern Arizona Suns photographer, as well as the Arizona Rattlers photographer, and I own my own little photography business on the side called Henshaw Photography as well. So if you need a picture taken, contact one of the Matts.
Now, the Northern Arizona Suns, which are the developmental league of the NBA.
Yes, sir.
For the Phoenix Suns, inaugural season up here after spending some time, a number of years in the Bay, Bakersfield, I believe.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Hey, we're not with you yet, John, okay? You just you just bow out, Rust. Sports geek. they started up this year. You're working with them. A lot of their front office are also with the Arizona Rattlers.
It's extremely similar front office. Not 100%, but now, just about.
The Rattlers, formerly the AFL, Arena Football League. They're in a new league now, redesigned.
The IFL, the Indoor Football League.
So get on out to...
And their season starts early. It starts in February when typically the AFL starts in March.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. Did a couple episodes down that way. Podcasts at the arena. The Talking Stick. It used to be what? It was something
It's
else.
Had many different names, but I know I remember it from my childhood as America West Arena.
It's right down there, right down the street from Phoenix Stand Up Live on Jefferson, where we have also recorded one of the premier comedy clubs in the state of Arizona. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for joining us. Did you plug your Instagram, Twitter?
Oh, pretty much anything social media is at Hinshaw Photo. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Good
same
deal.
Old, same
Thanks
old.
For joining us. Leslie Earl, not a serial killer, Lyman.
It just will not go away ever. Will not go
away. I interviewed Les a year or so ago, right down the street when it used
he
to be Brick
and
Bones.
Calling me James Earl Ray.
I called him Leslie Earl Jones, James Earl Ray, Leslie Earl Ray. Whatever it was serial killer or Darth Vader related. So, but Les is a very talented and very gifted musician, songwriter, guitar player. Tell us, just give us the little bullet point history of your life and what brought you to the Prescott area.
Well, basically what brought me here was my wife's job. That's the bullet point. Oh, wait, he's leaving.
Right,
he's
next.
Leaving me alone with a microphone. All right. Ah, now we're in trouble.
Freeloader.
Now we're in trouble. No, actually, that's right. I came here for my wife's job and pizza. That's pretty much it. No, I have been here for, gosh, it's going to be 17, going on 17 years. I have infested the music scene, and infested is the word of the music
a
scene.
Great description.
Of the music scene in Northern Arizona. I've had a band. I think I've played almost every venue. I think I've played every venue here. Actually, this year I finally played the Palace. I finally played the Palace after like.
That's when you know you have made it.
I know I made it.
Did you feel like a princess?
Well, no, not really. Not really. It's because I left my little hat at home. You know, the one with the cool, you know, the pointy thing.
It's called a tiara, Les.
No, it's not a tiara. It's that other thing, that pointy thing. I don't know what it is. You know, it's
got a bowl?
Dunce cap.
No.
Dunce cap.
No. Okay, that's what Matt wears.
Again, you've got to specify which one.
I think that it's the same thing. Photographer.
Huh? Right? We're one in the same. You're right.
Anyway, but yeah, I'm doing that right now. I have been, the last couple of years, I've been doing the singer-songwriter thing and liking it. I'm starting to get interested in my Stratocaster again and finding some opportunities to do some music with that.
That's a guitar, right?
Yes, okay. It is. It's a guitar. It is a guitar. Matt.
Nah, all right, where can folks find you? You never did get like a website or anything, did you? Or,
no,
or a
it's
performer
because,
page?
Where can folks find me? That's like, why? I don't want to. No, but you can find, right now, I do almost everything through my Facebook page, which is Leslie Earl Lyman on Facebook. Find me there, see what I have to say. Sometimes it's funny.
And he is on the Mile High Show fairly regularly. We get you to sit down with us, and you've got recently recorded a podcast of your own for addition to the to,
at
to,
last
yeah.
finally
yeah, I've been working
two
on it
years.
For 2 years but you recorded it. We'll have that up in a week or so.
Yeah.
And that's centered around what? You got something coming
that's
up on the
26th. Centered around the 4th annual Danny Rhodes Memorial Blues Summit, which is something that I've been doing. I've been doing this since inception. I'm a very good friends with his son Gabriel Rhodes, who plays in a band called the Mods, which you may or may not have seen. Danny was a huge influence on the blues scene here in Arizona in general. He's a member of the Blues Hall of Fame. and on northern Arizona in particular, because he lived in Sedona, and you know, he was certainly a guy that made things better. You know, I've been trying to follow in his footsteps. Anyway, we are doing that the 26th at Main Stage in Cottonwood, which is located at 1 South Main Street in Cottonwood.
Who else is on the bill with you there? It's kind of like a big jam session.
There's dedicated slots, and there's usually ends with a jam session. It's going to be we have Laurie McDonald, we have Tommy Grills, Tommy Dukes. It keeps growing. Shree is going to play this year. The Jerome Ukulele Orchestra, believe it or not, like they came out last year and that was a hoot. And then at the end, a lot of, you know, it's the day after Christmas, and you know, there's all these musicians lying around promiscuous, right? You know, with nothing to do. And we all get together and
we
want
to ask what they're going to be doing if they're. I don't think that was the right word.
We're in the bar. We're going to play some music, and it's good fun. It's you know, free admission. The main stage has food, and it's a good time.
They got great burgers. Yes. You can hear me eating one on an episode several months ago with Brandon Deckard. Les and I went out there and. We recorded ourselves chewing burgers for a while.
Well, now you recorded me chewing burgers.
All right, Mr. Johnny J. Rust, tell us where folks can find you and what it is you do.
Well, first of all, they can find me pretty much every morning, every day on KYCA Radio, 1490 AM on the dial, and now 103.5 FM. Yep, we just got our FM translator. You can listen to us on that. We're also online at kyca.info.
We'll get a GoFundMe together, see if we can't get you that .com address.
It's still online. KY.info.com. Who cares? It's online.
There's a big difference.
if you say so. But actually...
You gotta have info for dot info.
He's sounding just a little defensive, folks.
Yeah, goodness.
But actually,
it's all right,
just...
Mr. Blogspot.
that cuts.
If you say so.
Cutting deep already.
Does anyone know where the Arizona Burn Center is? Because we're gonna have to go there.
Johnny, aside from being and I don't say this jokingly, the local authority in sports. Covering everything from the professional teams, the minor leagues, our college sports, and shining the biggest focus on high school sports, which is well-deserved because we got such great programs here in the area. What else do you do?
Well, the other things I do, I am also a published author. I have 5 books out now, and yeah, thank you for holding that up, Les. That is Sea Raptor. Actually, that is my first edition of Sea Raptor. That is when it was a self-published book before I signed my contract with Severed Press out of Tasmania. And you can get... All my books are available on Amazon. I have Sea Raptor.
And you can get those by using the Amazon link at milehighshow.com.
Exactly. Yes, you can.
Okay. Did you really have like a publisher in Tasmania?
Yes, I did. I am not making that up. Severed Press is based out of Tasmania.
Does he edge it out of stone?
Well, I will tell you this. When I did
these 10 commands.
Well, when I did call up the editor, you know, it was a very weird conversation because I said, "Hello, this is John Rust, your newest member for Severed Press," and all I heard was like, "Okay, I'll take that as a yes, bye." But I have some other books. I have other books too. I have 2 baseball books. One is called The Best Phillies Team Ever. The other is Arizona's All-Time Baseball Team, where I take players who were born or raised in Arizona and put them in an all-time 25-man roster. My latest book is called Fallen Eagle, Alaska Front, which is about a UN invasion of America and a Marine up in Alaska forming a resistance group. And come January 3rd, my newest book will be out. It's co-authored by Mark Gardner, who I also work with at KYCA Radio. It is War of the Worlds Retaliation. And this is a sequel.
I think that's your publisher calling now.
I hope so. And this is a sequel to the H.G. Wells novel because At the beginning of 2017, the worldwide copyright expires.
Ah, I was just going to ask you about that.
So cool. So it's public domain, so anyone can write in the universe. And the premise here is it's 1924. It's 26 years after the Martian invasion. And, well, you know, the Martians were all wiped out by bacteria, but all their stuff was left intact. So all their technology, all their weapons, mankind reverse engineers them. And by 1924, we have spaceships, we have our own tripods, and the human race goes to Mars to fight the Martians. And the cool thing is, because it takes place in 1924, I said, hey, that means my characters can be historical figures. So I have George Patton, Erwin Rommel, Charles de Gaulle, and Georgi Zhukov all on the front line on Mars battling the aliens.
Weren't you going to be working on some fiction, too? No, that sounds like a... I like that premise. Yes. That is nice. I look forward to getting a copy of that.
Do you ever sleep, John?
Maybe about 3-4 hours a night.
Okay, so like the rest of us at this table.
All right, I have saved the best for last. And by when I say best for last, it's the only person at this table who has not done a podcast with me. So it's the only person at this table that doesn't hate me yet. But it's early. Deb, introduce yourself. Why are you here? We had a talk about a year ago.
Yeah.
And that's what generated this interest in this friendship. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Deb Gallegos, and it was about a year ago when the first Star Wars movie reboot came back, Force Awakens. You did a podcast, episode 51. You have to go look for it on the website because it's not in the iTunes podcast list. It got bumped back.
Oh, my goodness.
But
that's because
up.
Of all those downloads we
exactly.
have, right?
Exactly. So look for it on milehighshow.com. But I showed up for that live audience, that live podcast, thought it was awesome. We talked afterward, felt like an hour. You showed me all the equipment, and I'm like, I'm going to do this. I have been wanting to do this forever. I'm going to do my own podcast. And now I have. Now I have. And, you know, you've been in contact this past year and been wanting to invite me, and I finally... have an episode that I might be able to offer a little knowledge on.
Well, nice. What is your podcast?
Podcast is at everybodyshometowngeek.com. The first podcast we've done is a review show about Supergirl, the TV show. First season is up already. Interesting. I know a lot of people didn't give the show a chance when it first started. I thought it was amazing, refreshing, bright. No longer the dark and brooding superhero shows we'd all been seeing. So I jumped on board, and lo and behold, it was the only show that I am ever aware of that jumped networks after the first season from CBS, a mainstream.
Yeah.
And now it's gone over to the CW this season, and apparently CW has this amazing superhero TV show lineup right now. It's one show every day of the week.
Oh, nice, nice.
So to me, I am a huge comic book fan, and this is a golden age for us.
Now, DC Universe sounds like, though, right? DC,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's all DC Universe. I believe on TV, the only Marvel thing is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unless you count Netflix.
Oh, yes, Netflix. Well, they're killing it on Netflix.
And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Just, again, it kind of ties in with John and your writing, the way there's just more outlets for content everywhere, mm-hmm. podcasting,
exactly.
yeah. Streaming services. Deb, also plug away, what is your main business? Where can folks find you, and what do you do there? Because that kind of ties in with the techno edge.
True,
right?
True. Actually own a video production company, Making a Scene Productions. We do, well, video, movie making, business videos. We do social media, web design, the whole marketing and promotion business. And I've been doing that for, gosh, it seems like about 8 years now professionally, but I've been in the business.
Well, my lawyers might have to talk to you because I've been making a scene for a lot longer.
Well, see, it's time to make a scene. So from that, all my other ventures have stemmed from. I actually have a video show, a YouTube web show, called This is Prescott. You can find it at thisisprescott.com. And it's because I love my hometown. So it's celebrating people, events, all the goings on around Prescott, you know. So I'm really enjoying that one, getting to meet a lot of people out on my walkabouts, my man on the street interviews, and showing up for different events, etc. And then we also have, besides Everybody's Hometown Geek, I am currently working on the latest venture, which is my first real documentary we're working on.
Nice.
And it is based on the closing of Hastings, which is was a beloved store here in everybody's hometown. And it went bankrupt nationally, closed all the stores down. And the documentary talks about how that is going to relate to our entertainment culture. It was one of the last holdouts in the entire country for video rental and music and all that kind of thing. And how the different generations are consuming entertainment and what that all means. So look for that in the coming year, 2017. And if anybody locally or even nationally that is hearing this podcast wants to get a hold of me and talk about that, an interview perhaps, please do get a hold of me.
Well, I see a one-on-one podcast about that soon. We'll get together,
please.
And we'll pump that up. How are you looking to release that once it's done? Are you going to
shop
it around, or are you going to try and self-release?
Definitely. There is going to be a showing here in Prescott at one of the theaters. Maybe both. We're not sure yet. For Prescottonians, and in particular, anybody that I've had a chance to interview about it, do a little giving back to that. So that would be the premiere. But we were also shopping it to Netflix and Amazon.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, since we're talking about movies and a release of a independent film filmed right here in our hometown, let's get the audience involved here a little bit and give away one of our little movie cards here. We have gift cards for a picture show theater up at Frontier Village. Let's throw this out there. Who here is big Star Wars, let's say original Star Wars, New Hope fans? Not you. Oh.
You didn't specify.
All right, Dylan, come on up. You get to use that mic there.
Tonight's purposes, we're not people. Are we ever people?
For tonight? What are
you? All right. All right. We have our first victim. All right.
Intro to the movie that's called The Crawl. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those moving letters? It's an audio podcast. Nodding really doesn't help much, Dylan. Get in there. Tell us who you
are.
Introduce yourself first off. He knows how to use a
mic.
I'm
Dylan Gibson.
Dylan Gibson, where are you living?
Prescott Valley and Paulden.
Prescott Valley and Paulden. And are you still in school, right?
Yeah.
How old are you? I forget.
16.
16. So what are you, sophomore?
Junior?
He's too old to win. Sit down. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, that crawl. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what it says?
No.
Do you want some help from your sister? Can she help you? No?
I will help him.
Okay, Matt will help you.
Now, what do you want? The whole thing or just the start?
Well, you have the whole thing memorized. Let's see how much you know. Do you remember what it says?
Not really.
Do you remember how it starts? Let's see if Matt can help you start it. Go ahead, Matt.
A long time ago.
He lost already.
Oh, I lost already because I didn't do the title?
No, because The Crawl does not start with that.
Really? Yes,
really. I'm confused now. What are you trying to say?
Is that music coming through?
Someone's looking at The Crawl.
The Crawl does not start with that. I was surprised, too, because I kept Googling it and Googling. That is the what color is the crawl? Do you know that?
Yellow.
Give him a card.
Yeah, you give him a card.
There you go.
There you go. A card.
The crawl is in yellow. Yay! The crawl is in yellow. The what does it say? The long time.
A long time ago in a galaxy. It is in blue.
And
it's before
it
is the
not
crawl.
Moving.
You're right.
Oh, you're right.
And then the Star Wars comes up, and then the crawl begins.
Mind blown.
Now, what about Rogue One?
What's mind-blowing is that Matt knows that.
You know what? It's from a very...
he's holding notes.
It's a very exclusive website I found called Google.
The Googles.
The Googles.
The Google.
On the internets.
On the internet.
The interweb?
The keeper of all knowledge,
It
Google.
Is a period of civil war, rebel spaceships, blah, blah, blah. And then I fell asleep, and I don't remember the
For
rest.
For a new hope,
I think there's a black guy with a black helmet and then a robot, I think. That's all I remember about the movie.
Now, information about Rogue One is there is no crawl.
What?
Nobody knows that? Nobody else has read that?
I thought I heard.
There is no crawl whatsoever.
Dude, spoilers. Come on, man.
John Williams, who does the music, is not doing the music.
Oh. Why are they betraying us?
First one.
Has done it for all the other ones.
What alternative universe are we in?
Because it's a new thing, man.
Because it's the standalone thing.
It's a new thing. It's a standalone thing.
Yep. So basically trying to give the standalones their own atmosphere. And I guess they'll do the same with the Han Solo and Boba Fett movies coming up.
I'm not sure how I feel about this.
They haven't confirmed of Boba Fett, but the Han Solo,
speaking of Boba Fett, no, the movies
We're going into Boba Fett.
Did they greenlight it? Last time I read, they hadn't yet.
The director got axed out, and they canceled his contract. Do you know why?
Why?
What's his name? First off, do you know the...
No, I don't know his name.
I had it written down somewhere.
Of the Boba Fett film?
Yeah. He got... Because he directed...
Conflict of Interest? He too was a bounty hunter?
No. He also...
He was from a galaxy far, far away?
No, see if I have it here. He had... doggone it.
See, again, he goes to his notes.
Yes, that's good. Yeah. It's all written
down. I'm just pretending I know how to read.
Yeah, you're a pretend nerd. Go sit down.
It's blank paper.
Poser.
No, I want to say Fantastic Four or something. He had done another movie.
Well, and that disqualified him right there.
No,
right.
Because of his behavior on set, they canceled his contract. And that's all IMDb said about it. I was interested, though. You know what? We're going to go, and I'm going to start with Maddie. How much research have you done on the plot line and things?
Not a ton. I know the basis of it because, you know, we already have all watched the sequel. But, you know, it's basically the story of...
Yeah, you
you probably have. You keep falling asleep during it. But the basis of the film is, you know, it's the how they stole the Death Star plans.
So it's really, from what I saw on that... exclusive website google.com
the Googles
was that it's a very similar storyline to New Hope. It's kind of the same. It's got some similar features.
It's not the storyline for New Hope. What it is it's the background. The thing is
I had to do something, so I figured if I got less talk and I got 20 minutes.
The thing is that while everybody else was like getting excited about this movie, right? Little kids had been watching the Star Wars animation like that Disney put out, all right, for years, and they actually dumped that. They dumped all that. That was all canon. That's no longer canon. But it was all about this world because it's really interesting. It's really interesting. I strongly recommend you find the books and like the animation. And
well,
stuff.
The initial animation was actually the Clone Wars
that
Disney did. And right now is what they're doing, the Star Wars Rebels.
Right, right.
And that's on Disney. I haven't watched it yet. I'd like to watch Clone Wars first.
Yeah, but it's definitely worth watching because they talk about...
There's a lot of characters from that cartoon that are going to be in the movie.
I mean, they talk about the rest of the universe that's going on because, as I said earlier, all the movies have pretty much basically been talking about the Jedi. Ooh, the Jedi. What are the Jedi going to do? And you see all these guys dying all around them, right? You know, and so now they're going to talk about those guys. They're going to talk about, and which I'm excited about. You know, I'm really excited about that.
So all this time I'm thinking it's just a throwaway line in A New Hope that they're building a whole movie around, but no. It is apparently much more than that because I have not seen the animation, the Clone Wars or the Star Wars.
I've seen Clone Wars. I really liked the Clone Wars animated series. One thing I really liked about it was that it gave the stormtroopers individual personalities.
Right.
They weren't just your typical cardboard cutout
technically
army.
Clones.
Yeah, they clones. Were clones. Are clones. But no, like each of them had individual personalities. Some of them became prominent characters.
Yeah.
And to me, that was the redemption for the prequels because Anakin Skywalker in the Clone Wars animated series wasn't too bad a character. He was actually a pretty decent character. It's like, okay, this isn't, you know, whatever his name was, Christian...
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I don't even want to remember his name. That's how bad he... Hayden Christopher. He wasn't Hayden Christopher. He wasn't the whiny little turd burglar that he was in...
Well, they had time to develop
right.
the character. They had time to... You know, which is what happened in those things.
Anyways, back on Rogue One.
Well,
Rogue One.
No, it's obvious from this discussion and watching that vein pop out of John's forehead. And just
it's
the
pretty
way,
damn impressive.
The
like
way that people embrace not just the Star Wars universe, but sci-fi and fantasy in general, way deeper and way more passionate than most other genres of movies, even superhero films, even horror films and procedural dramas and things. What, in your guys' opinion, accounts for that? Why do people gravitate so strongly and so passionately to Star Wars in specifically, but the genre in general?
Because marketing. Because Star Wars was the first thing that was marketed in the way that Pixar is marketed today. It was marketed across the spectrum of age. You got kids that grew up collecting the toys. They're like our age now.
But it goes deeper than that. I mean, even in previous generations, when people were passionate about sci-fi and fantasy, they were really passionate about it. Yeah. And quite frankly, it's not something I understand. And but I'm asking you guys,
They didn't buy it. But the thing is that like in past generations, there wasn't the influx of just this all this media about it and all the hype and all the toys. Like Star Wars was actually, as far as I recall, they were the first ones to figure out that we could make more money on merchandise tie-ins after the fact. And then movies started remember when movies like for kids didn't have toys that were already made before the movie came out? And then the last Star Wars movie, there was a toy that came out too early that was actually a plot spoiler. It was Rey and she had a lightsaber. Yeah. Oh, she's a Jedi. And so there was a huge deal.
Well, I'm going to assume, Les, that you weren't going out buying these toys in 77 for yourself. So what, and I know you're a passionate fan. Right. Why is it grabbing you?
Well, see, the thing that I liked about it was that I actually got to see the movie, the first movie, before Lucas got his hands on it and retconned it into this mess. Like Han shot first, and if I was him, I would have done it too, because Greedo was a bad guy and he was going to kill him. You know, that's just how it is. Han shot first.
It's a major point of contention for fans.
Han shot first, but like he retconned it, which is like retroactively changing the continuity for those of you who don't know.
And I understand that, and I've heard the debates.
Right.
But it's gonna be about, so what? And that's
from a film.
It's a big deal because
in other movie genres, people don't get that concerned about it. They don't really get that worked up about it. And in this, it was, you know, people were getting in fights about it.
Because I think the big thing is, a lot of it just goes back to the
geeks,
characters.
Man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Geeks. Han Solo is perceived as a hero, and heroes do not kill people without reason. Yeah. And that's what he did.
So, but he was a scoundrel.
That's why it was a big deal.
We're talking about a specific point. Yes. I'm talking about just why is it such a passionate thing?
That's what I was going to go to, but Les kept going and going.
People don't get that worked up about a Western or a
Are you kidding me?
Drama.
Are you kidding me? People don't get worked up about John Wayne?
Oh, not like this.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, yes, they do.
Or they used to.
Maybe they're just not as vocal.
Oh, yes, they are.
My personal perception is it's the exploration of the unknown. These are all places that are out in the universe that might exist, that might not exist, and we will never know. And so someone else coming up with that just draws us into it.
I would go back to the world-building aspect of it. It's an entire world that Lucas started up. Which
so are the so voices many, in my head.
Exactly. I would
but
write
them
down
Earth.
And make a million. But yeah, I mean,
that's what you
it's
think,
a
Belle.
Passionate, rabid fan base. It's a unique fan base. I think Star Trek is about
Star Trek.
Equal.
And Star Trek was out before that.
Another exploration of the unknown. Not something that's on this planet.
Exactly.
I feel like we're in a fish tank. Tell those folks they can come in if they want.
But
free
beer. That's right. It's a G-rated show, folks. Free beer. Come on in.
How's that farther than G-rated?
No, it's
I'm just telling you, there's a thing. It's mass media, mass marketing. People grew up with this stuff. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, okay, was a stuffed animal that Disney sold one year. A guy called Gene Autry, like
Montgomery Ward.
Well, okay, catalog. Sorry, Montgomery Ward. But like Gene Autry comes up with this song, and the next thing you know, it is a tradition. Right, and people think it's lasted forever to watch, like, you know, this Rankin Bass stop
the claymation
motion thing. Yeah, the stop motion thing. When really, it has nothing to do with the original thing. People, it's what you're presented with as a kid. Now, science fiction was something that, Joe, man, like, remember science fiction when we were kids? It was like, you know, it was Heinlein and Frederick Pohl and Isaac Asimov and stuff like that. There were certainly stories, but there was science there.
People are not as passionate about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer as they are as Star Wars. And we've had, I personally, being a kid of the 80s, had Rudolph crammed down my throat my entire childhood, and I don't care about Rudolph at all.
Because you had Star Wars, which
is like... Straight Henshaw, in your vast selection of dolls, you don't have one Rudolph.
Nope,
never mind.
Well, not a single one.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we're going to be mailing him some Rudolph.
I think the thing with why science fiction is so popular, why people are so rabid about it, is, you know, not just when we come to Star Wars or Star Trek, but you have other shows like Babylon 5.
Yeah.
And some of these shows, what they do is they plug in social commentary within the sci-fi story.
Exactly.
Star Trek was brilliant at doing that. Twilight Zone was another one that was just so good.
Harlan Ellison.
Yeah.
Harlan Ellison.
Twilight Zone was just so good at putting in all these kind of social commentary that back in the 60s, you know, you wouldn't really see on TV, but because Rod Serling could write it around a sci-fi story.
They mask it around something
else. You have to go under the radar with the commentary.
Star Trek was very well known for that. Racial,
which I would argue most all
things,
sci-fi.
Yeah.
And love it or hate the first three prequels, they had a ton of social commentary in political regards, and that was, you know, Lucas's take on it. Kind of fascinating.
So, what was he trying to say with Jar Jar Binks?
I was just going to say the same thing.
There is one clip from the movie that has been making the rounds since the election about "This is the way the Republic ends" to thunderous applause. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there is social commentary even in the lambasted prequels.
And I think also characters are another thing. I mean, you know, Luke Skywalker, Han. So this is why we have the big debate on, you know, Han shot first, Han shot first. Well, it's because Han is such
same
a beloved
person.
Character.
Yeah. Let's talk characters, because that's what draws me as not a huge fan of the genre, not a huge fan of the Star Wars universe, but I enjoy watching them when I can make it through the whole thing.
That reminds me, can I get mine back when you got a minute?
I sold them on eBay. I'm sorry. I got a dollar and a half for them, though.
That's about right, because they were the DVD copy.
VHS would fetch a pretty penny.
I am drawn to, whether it be movies, television shows, written word novels and things, more by the character and dialogue than even plot lines. If I can get really drawn in by characters and dialogue, for me, that really hooks me. Let's just go around the table. Let's start with Deb, and we'll work our way around. In the entire, I don't know, how many movies are there?
Seven, but if you... Yeah, seven
in the big stack of movies
seven
that Matt has
movies.
On his desk at home.
It's not true. It is still in a box. I have not unpacked them.
Who are your favorite characters in general, and then let me know who you most identify with. And if anybody out there wants to chime in as well, raise your hand. And if you want to, we got some T-shirts you can have for sharing your favorite character and who you most identify with.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I would say I'm probably in the minority, because most every guy I've ever met loves Han Solo. And I'm Luke Skywalker all the
it's
way
Indiana
since the
Jones,
beginning.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Good old Harrison Ford. Luke Skywalker was it for me. When the movie Star Wars first came out, I was too young to see it. I was not allowed to go to the theater, but every time something about Star Wars came on the news, I'm like, everybody stop, we got to watch it, you know. So it's, I saw little clips here and there, and I just loved this movie. So I think my grandmother got me some Star Wars comic books, but not the whole set, just numbers 4, 5, and 6 of the movie adaptation. So I found out the plot line from that as best I could, and just fell in love with the Luke Skywalker character. I did not see the appeal of Han at all. And in fact, that Christmas, I got a Luke Skywalker 12-inch Star Wars action figure. And he came with me today. He's in my backpack. I'll have to show you all later.
Yeah.
Poor Luke has the action figure has seen
a little
some,
man in her purse.
Exactly. It's, he's seen some
kind
of
creepy. Kind of creepy.
But yeah, I would say, yeah, I'm not sure where it went off course, that Luke is not the focus and the hero and who we're aspiring to be, et cetera, et cetera. And I know everybody's in love with the rogue and the bad boy, but no, I'm liking Luke.
We all love a pirate.
I love it. You're calling her creepy, man, and no one can see how you're wearing your headphones. Ladies and gentlemen, oh, look, it's on tape. So.
Johnny, how about you?
Oh, man, it's kind of hard for me to pin down a favorite character. I mean, obviously, I like Han because I like his character arc where he was just so self-absorbed. All he cared about was making the big score, making the big money, and then as the movies went along, we get to see Han actually start to care about things other than himself. And Chewie, because obviously Chewie was his buddy, but now it's like, okay, I have something. Now,
what was
bigger.
Up with that? That's just kind of disturbing.
Hey, I got a dog.
but like I said, I mean, but you know, I mean, Han was good friends with Chewie, but now as the movie went on, we got to see Han care about other things that were bigger than himself, and that's a story arc I really like. Where, you know, a character finds out that, okay, the universe isn't all about making money and just flying around my ship. It's like there are people out there who, you know, are depending on me, and I'm actually starting to care about these people. And I think, to me, that was one of the appeals of the first three Star Wars movies, where you have Han, Luke, Leia, Chewie, R2-D2, C-3PO. You threw all these characters together. These are characters who, under any other circumstances, would have nothing to do with each other. And because of the threat of the Empire...
Much like this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. But because of the threat of the Empire, they are forced to work together. And because of that, we get to see their relationships develop. We get to see them go from antagonistic and maybe not liking one another to all of a sudden forming a really special bond.
Maddie?
My favorite character, now I'm going to prepare myself for the booze, but I'm a huge fan of the dark side. I've always been a huge fan of the dark side.
Most
I like
troubling.
The Imperials. Dun, dun, think about it. Dun, dun, they have the dun, cooler dun, ships, dun, dun, dun. They have the cooler technology, and they have the cooler outfits. But my favorite character overall is Darth Maul.
You are a big fashion plate there.
I am.
Darth Maul, the guy with the red head, right?
Yep, Darth Maul is my favorite.
And you do like red heads.
Now, where I... topic for another show. The reason why I like Darth Maul is because Darth Maul, unlike most of, not all, but most of the other dark side villains, Darth Vader, Count Dooku, such, were started out as Jedis, and they were converted and flipped to the dark side. Darth Maul was dark basically from the day Emperor Palpatine found him. He trained him from a little kid to be an evil, horrible, you know,
so
Sith.
Where do you get his backstory?
Where do I get his backstory? Yeah. In his novel.
Oh, okay.
So Darth Maul, so that's your favorite
that's
character.
It's not canon anymore.
I was going to say.
I don't
never
care
saw that
what
the
they
movie.
Say.
So that's your
been
favorite
retconned,
character.
Dude.
He's
you're
my
dead.
Favorite character. He's the most underrated Sith out of all of them, and he was just incredible, and he dies like nothing in the first one.
Who do you identify most with? Who do you think
Darth
captures
Maul.
The essence of no.
Have you been trained in the dark side since
yes,
a child
for
also?
Sure.
It's
I don't
troubling.
Know who I would identify with. I mean... None of them are like me at all, so...
Chewy, kind of.
Chewy? Yeah, I just walk around making funny noises, you're right.
I've been to your house, yes. That is pretty... Pretty apt. Mr. Less.
I could have gone the rest of my life without that last sentence, Matt. Thanks.
Mr. Lyman?
Okay. Anyway, no, the guy, my favorite character at, like all decent pieces of art, it changes as you grow older and you get more experience. I think the guy that gets the least recognition for doing the toughest job is Lando Calrissian. Mm. Because Lando is in this spot where, you know, these are his friends, you know, and, you know, like, he kind of wants his shit back. You know?
All he thinks about is himself, though.
No, he's trying to keep that, like, he's stuck between the Empire and doing what he thinks is correct. And so he comes up with this convoluted plan to, like, that almost works to get his friends out of there and keep the Cloud City from being destroyed by the Empire, because that's where he was at. He, from a simply pragmatic point of view, what he could have done as a, as sort of a lawful neutral character, if any of us play D&D, like, what he probably would have done would have done the pragmatic thing and done the thing that did the most good for the most amount of people, which would have just been turn them over. But the guy has a conscience, right? So he tries to save them. And he does manage to save everybody except Han, who had it coming. he had it coming because, like, you know, that was part of his path to becoming somebody who understood that the world was not just about him, right? So Lando is like, well, and you have to remember, Lando's the guy that actually manages to fly the space tug that is the Millennium Falcon.
Well, into, it's 'cause it was his ship.
Into the Death Star at the end, the new Death Star, and blow it up. So he is really this underrated character. He's a huge part of what goes on. And he's like, I think this is why Rogue One is going to be interesting, because it's about those people. It's about the little people, not the people that have, like, the powers and they're on this mythic journey, but the people that are caught up in the wave of that.
Collateral damage.
Yeah, the collateral damage people. You see, and I think that, like, one of the biggest things, you know, one of the biggest things, for instance, about the G.I. Joe movie is that you see, it's like, looks like when little kids play, they tear, you know, they have car accidents and all stuff. But when I watch that movie with my kid, what I see is this ongoing miles long car accident in that one scene, and people are getting hurt and dying and stuff.
Yes. I've noticed that in a ton of action movies. Yeah,
so you can see that, you know, I mean, that's really, so what you have is, like, say a guy that's like the mayor of New York when, you know, 9/11 happens, or something like 1,000 9/11s happens, or something like that. So I like that guy. He's the guy that's trying to, like, you know, navigate this impossible thing, stay alive, help his friends, keep the city going, stuff like that. That's like, and I'm like, as I grow older, I identify with that cat.
And he wears Han Solo's clothes.
Well,
too.
There's that too. Maybe it's the other way around.
Okay.
That's Billy D. Williams, dude, man. A guy styles, I'm just saying.
The family, or the franchise is moving forward. We're going to have another movie coming up in a few years. You get the call. You get to create a character. What is that character's name? And what's his personality going to be like? Let's go to the creative force behind Sea Raptor, which we're really glad he used an actual picture of a Sea Raptor on the cover rather than a picture of the author in a Speedo. John Rust, who would your character be, and what would be his role, his personality? What would, or he or she, what would that person be doing?
First of all, if it is a live-action Star Wars movie, I am going with a non-human character.
Based on yourself?
Yeah.
Way to represent.
I think not. I mean, outside of Yoda and Chewie, outside of Yoda and Chewie, there haven't been that many prominent non-human characters in Star Wars. It's almost like Star Trek, where it's like everyone's a human, and we throw in a token Vulcan or two. So let's see. He would be an alien. I can't think of which one off
the male top or female, right? Or non-gender.
Actually, you know what? Let's make it really. Let's do. Let's do. Oh, what's it? Let's do a hermaphrodite character, asexual character.
This just took a hell of a turn.
What? Why not? Hey, what? Hey,
so
why
not? A non-gender descript.
Let's do.
Well, that's as bad as modern as you could get. You know, like I'm a gender fluid character.
Well, it's not. It's they're an alien race, and who's to say? We don't know how other alien races would procreate.
Yes, exactly. Now. Why couldn't it be a trisex?
I'm still working on human.
Neither male nor female. A third sex. That's actually, only unique to that
villain
race.
Or hero.
I'd go with the villain. I would. Let's see. I would probably make their personality. You know, sometimes I'd probably
hurry. I want to call on Matt next.
I'd probably make the personality.
Take a mic into the men's room.
I want to make the personality. They can get on people's nerves. They can be a little bit of a butthead, but
so it'd be like a radio, right? Like a radio guy.
Yeah, like a radio guy. But in the end,
Howard Stern as a gender neutral character. I like it.
But in the end, they do wind up
just
doing
describe Bill Monroe.
but in the end, they do wind up doing the right thing. Because I don't want a goody two shoes kind of characters. They can get kind of boring. So we got to give them a little edge, make them a little butthead. But in the end, yeah, they can do the right thing, and they can also show that, you know, just being a good guy doesn't mean that you're a good guy 100% of the time. So
sort of a banality of evil kind of character.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd go that far, but you know, he wouldn't be evil, but some people.
He's at the death camps during the day, and then he comes home to his children at night, right?
Yeah, but he'd be something like, I got to work with this guy again. Why did I have to draw the short straw?
All right, Les, your turn. Who do you create?
Well, I would like to create, like. I would like a couple of characters like those two. I forget their names, but remember in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, right? The two pirates, the bald guy and the skinny guy. Yeah, the one guy's eye kept popping out. I would like a couple of stormtroopers that were like those guys. I would like, you know, like so that like we could get to see, you know, that you could see that more than just the faceless thing, that there was a couple of people underneath there, because it would make the evil that they do even more terrible. Like that ties into that banality of evil thing, and make them even worse, because like they're just kind of regular Joes doing their job, and yet their job happens to be this thing that they're doing. Well, I'm just following orders, right? You know, that would be really cool. I'd like that, and it would be even more, I think, effective if they were funny, you know, so that you like them in spite of yourself, you know, and they're doing these horrible things, and you know, that might make some people think. Mm-hmm. I'd like that. I'd like people
kind of like
think.
Kind of like an Otto Scorzini sort of stormtrooper. Otto Scorzini was a commando in the SS in World War II. He had a reputation of being very brave, being very. You know, kind of being.
He was
very
a
dashing.
Triple. He was a triple spy or something like that.
Actually, no, he wasn't. He wasn't a spy. He was a legit SS commando. But the thing is, while he was daring, while he was dashing, he was a diehard Nazi. It's almost like, well, this is the kind of guy I'd like fighting by my side. But yeah, that Nazi thing. Yeah, no way, man. Can't
except
take
for
it.
That.
Yeah, except
all right,
for that.
Deb.
That's a big except.
Well, Deb, take it away. Cool. You're the in character development. What do you come up with?
Oh, my gosh. You put me on the spot. I'm going to go with somebody from the Yoda's race. I want more Yoda people out there. And I'm going...
Frank Oz can use the word.
Exactly. You know,
is that guy still alive?
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure he's dead.
I'm hoping Frank is alive. Shout out to Frank if you're out there.
Please be alive, Frank. Please,
you
God.
Bring my character.
2016 has been a tough year.
Serious.
So you're looking on the hero side.
Hero side. I want this Yoda person... which will be named Harvey. I'm liking Harvey. Harvey will be young in his training, and they'll explore all the pseudo-quasi-religious aspects of Jedi-ness and all that kind of thing. But, you know, Harvey's rebelling a little bit, you know, like when you grow up in Catholic school and you got to rebel a little bit, you know.
I mean, he's not a 6-foot invisible rabbit? I'm really depressed by that. That'd be cool. As a Jedi. It's like, you know.
The race tends to skew shorter. But that's where I would go with
and
Harvey.
Wrinklier. Maddie. What do you create?
I wouldn't want to create anything. I would like to see one of my favorite characters from the books brought to life, which they're supposedly going to be doing in the Rebels cartoon.
And that is?
Grand Admiral Thrawn. Thank you. I would love to see him.
But you have to make That's up your own. Like. Make
Tell
up
us
own.
More about him.
If Quick I had to make backstory. Up my, I'd have to make something dark and evil. And
you'd have
you know,
to make something. You don't just kind of have something in your pocket that's dark.
So no,
you,
I'm
you
sure
would just
I
walk around with just, a recorder.
Self story.
Dark side guy with
yeah,
no
I would
evil
do,
with
I would
him.
Do something
I don't
dark, but not quite as dark as you know, like take over the universe kind of thing. I would want to see the resurgence of the Sith, like where they were a few thousand years ago, like in the what they call not canon now. I'd like to see that happen, where there's a whole bunch of Sith running around and not just one or two.
But
that's what I would like
that's
to see.
Not how
now
it works.
The character you described it was it Darth the guy with the red
Darth Maul.
Yes.
Keep he up, had, Matt. This is had, your podcast.
He had like very little screen time, correct?
He had a fair amount. He had probably one of the best lightsaber battles in the
but,
whole
but
thing.
He wasn't, but
yeah.
a lot of he dialogue. Wasn't for being such a popular character,
mm-hmm.
he's not getting the screen time.
No,
like,
but he looked
no.
cool, so that's yeah. why he's popular.
One of the other characters that is very, very popular is Boba Fett, who had also yeah. not very much.
He's probably time. My number two. Yeah, he had like one line.
And your dedication and your affection for Boba lends itself into your personal life as well,
which we've talked about before. But yeah,
and well, how tell, does that tell us about that, that, man? I'm not aware.
That's the name of my dog,
Boba.
Oh my
Fett.
Gosh, I was just
Boba
about to
Fett.
Guess that.
That is
now,
the name
that,
of my dog.
Since you,
I originally
I thought
wanted
maybe
to call
he had
him,
jammies that like looked like the armor. Or something.
I originally wanted to call him Vader because he was black and white, but that was. X'd.
Okay, so, let's talk a little bit about Boba. Not the dog.
Not the dog.
The character.
Well, I know all about the dog.
Yeah, so do I. He used to bite me every time I went to your house.
And you deserved
it's
it.
It's well, called yeah, good character.
Yeah, good. You're a good judge of character. Boba Fett first appeared in public where? Let's put that on Matt.
Oh, that was the Christmas special.
Nope.
Nope.
Oh, dude, how in was public? It not?
What?
That was the first appearance was the cartoon.
The first
of him.
Appearance on screen.
Well, maybe it's the first public appearance.
First public appearance? I don't know what that was.
Anybody know?
At a Comic-Con? What do you mean?
Boba Fett's first introduction to the American public. Anyone? Anyone?
Action figure.
No? You want to guess? Alexa, come on in. Guess. Guess.
She's not
guess for
that.
A guess for a t-shirt and a couple of decks of cards. Going once, twice, no, she's shaking her head.
No guesses.
It was at, nobody
small.
Knows. Nobody was at the 1978 San Anselmo County Fair.
No.
What a surprise.
What I can
I was
tell you
in
is
Jersey.
I wasn't conceived yet.
What I can tell you is in 1978 I was not at the San Anselmo County Fair.
I was about three.
I kind of
Are
remember
you sure?
that. Well,
and last weekend. Nothing.
Well, there's like it would. It's just All across right. the country.
Well,
you know,
you know
like,
one I want to bring up personally, since
no,
this
tell
is
us.
The Rogue oh. One, you know, podcast.
Yes.
What character are you looking forward to seeing out of the new cast?
Oh,
because it's okay. all new characters for the most part.
I'm really interested to see what's up with like Forrest Whitaker's character with the one foot.
Yes.
He's up there, he's got that wild look in his eye.
Well,
big fan of his work
in the Rebel cartoon. I believe that's how he loses his legs is in the Rebel cartoon.
Well, he doesn't have. I don't know.
He's a soldier and he's much younger.
I don't know. No, he's old. He's old and he has a. He has
in
like,
this one, yeah,
he looks nuts. He already looks nuts because he has that lazy eye, you know.
John, how about yourself?
Oh, to me, it's got to be the Asian character who's not a Jedi, but he is Force.
He's Force
sensitive.
Yeah,
and I can't think of his character
like
name
force
right now.
Sensitive.
But yeah, I think that would be interesting.
He has
someone...
midichlorians.
Oh no!
All right.
No.
Shout out to the midichlorians.
No midichlorian talk.
Yeah.
No, but it's going to be interesting to see how he's not a Jedi, but how he can, I guess. you'll either tap into the force.
Like when you're sensitive to ghosts in the room.
Because he's been infected with midichlorians.
He's completely blind, but yet he's able to fight an entire squad.
Everybody like it wants to argue about that, right? You know, like, and that's something that George Lucas gave us, was that argument. But nobody wants to talk about all the other stuff he did, like, like the only way you can see the original cut of the movie is like online somewhere, and like they keep trying to take it down.
Same with the Christmas story thing.
Oh,
but
yes.
Your turn.
What's the question?
John, it was what character are you looking forward to in the new movie?
Okay. So I'm
Which
having
one are you most
a love-hate
with?
Relationship with Jin.
Uh-huh. Love-hate, huh?
Love-hate in that, okay, cool, we're getting another female lead, and, you know, her dad, not so cool, you know,
yeah, there's
all that
a controversy
kind of
behind that.
Well, yeah,
about the female
that,
lead again, a second
exactly,
female lead, right.
Which is so interesting to me, as I happen to be a female also. That's a point of
good to know.
Of contention.
Good to know.
Are we not supposed
if,
to just sort
not
of
if
like
John
be
creates you as
nowadays,
a character, you're not.
Well, I totally missed that. Little crosstalk. But yeah, it's a point of contention. And I understand, and there's part of me that thinks that way. That's the love-hate relationship. But I'm also thinking, when is that not going to even be at the forefront of our mind? Mm. Like, who is it, a male lead, a female lead? There were six with a male lead, blah, blah, blah.
When we whatever. Stop talking about it.
Exactly. So I'm
when
liking that.
Talking about
which
it.
I also thought this is an interesting thing I had heard in a couple of news stories. There is another point of contention. Right now, we're seeing a lot from, we'll call it alt-right, white supremacist, neo-Nazi, whatever flavor you want to talk about.
But they just say are, Nazi and move on. It's
exactly.
All good.
So they are protesting Rogue One because, and this I find interesting, fascinating, right. That this is the protest that all the characters are either women or people of color, and they're all fighting white people, meaning the white stormtroopers. So they are very up in arms about this portrayal. And I'm like, wow.
Great. Okay, now I don't like Star Wars.
Okay. And it gets on my nerves. Politically, my views go more to the conservative side than the liberal side. But I'm looking at this controversy, and I'm like, this is just getting so ridiculous. We
so
are politicizing
true.
Everything
yeah,
now.
I'm like, this is Star Wars. Come on.
It's like with the new Ghostbusters movie, because it was like, because basically,
never
when
seen so much hate online.
Yeah,
in
when
my
I
life.
And when I saw the trailer
never
for
been
it,
on Les's page.
When I saw the trailer for it, I went, okay, you know,
wait a minute.
This thing just really doesn't look
very
funny.
I have the least
funny,
political Facebook but, page ever. What
no, I just meant people hating you.
But, no, well, when I saw the trailer for the new Ghostbusters movie, I went, I don't know, this just doesn't look really funny. It doesn't look like they captured the spirit of it. And then here came all the hate from both sides, where it's like, well, women, we can't have an all-female cast. And then it's like, okay, well, if you don't go see the new Ghostbusters movie, then you hate women. And then I'm going, you know what? You're insulting potential audience members now, and we're not going to put up with
so
that.
Personally,
when I actually saw the movie,
it
was good. Yeah, yeah. It was very
so you
good.
You have to go into it not liking and not referring or comparing it to the original, and
it's
a good
whole
movie.
New generation.
So whole,
how old
so no,
is it?
No,
great.
It's not.
So
it's
to alleviate
movie.
All of those problems.
Hold on. Somebody cut Les's mic.
So to alleviate all of those problems, we just let John create all the characters for the upcoming movies.
So long as
and then nobody knows whether they're male or female or anything.
But here's
else.
The thing: so long
they'll
the
all be fish. Be, they'll all be raptors
like and this. Sea raptor.
Sea raptor.
So on Amazon.com.
But so available by using the Amazon link. At
oh, but that was awesome.
On
that was
Audible. Like,
but here's the thing. Here's the thing. So long as the characters are good, so
Amen.
Long as you can sympathize with the characters, so long as you root for the characters and the characters have meaning to you, then it doesn't matter if they're black, white, Asian, male, female, or an androgynous alien or whatever. The characters are interesting. You like the characters.
Or Jar Jar
you root
Binks.
For the except for Jar Jar Binks.
Now, this
I
is my love-hate relationship with Jin. This is the hate part of my relationship with Jin, is I am not feeling the British accent. And I don't know why it is so taking me out of the whole Star Wars universe.
I think that's rolling
universe.
Back to the original Star Wars. Cause,
I have developed a hate relationship with Jin, too, because it gives me a really bad headache.
Yeah.
So I've so stopped.
Let's go back
socializing
to
with gin.
So what character are you looking for, to Santos?
Me, the usher who wakes me up at the end of the show and says it's time for the next seating.
Oh, that's Jimmy. I know Jimmy well.
It's been a year, and you still have not converted to a Star Wars fan.
Yet are you looking forward to?
What character? I just told you. I think. Oh, what character am I looking for?
on the new movie?
Okay, so what? I'm really interested in Jin's father.
Yes,
because you see him. I think. In you see him, I believe, in the original movie somewhere, like at least ways that character. So I'm really interested. What's interesting to me is they're going into like the building of this moon-sized, you know, laser beam emitting thing, you know, that they're building apparently on the sly.
No, nobody sees it.
Sees it coming. They're building it on the sly, and they're doing all the and
over a period of 20 years.
You know, it's it takes 20 years to build this thing, which is kind of amazing. These people can fly faster than light, and they haven't figured out a way to like 3D build something. You know, there's no giant 3D printer. They can just kind of spit this thing out in about 6 months or something. You know, I don't understand. You know, and something else about that. While I'm thinking about that, what's the deal with the guys that have to stand by the laser beam as it comes out of the cannon? What are they doing there? What do they do?
They make sure that the laser beam is going out of the cannon.
No, I think, seriously, I mean, why are these guys there?
They're in SAG. They're paying insurance for their families.
Yeah, but they don't have speaking lines. They don't have speaking lines. They don't have to be in SAG.
They don't even get a guardrail from keeping them falling
in. I'm understanding.
No kidding.
I'm understanding that there were a lot of name brand actors that just wanted a role in the movie.
I think it's sort of like that. One of those things you see on the internet was that like they'll take a picture of something, they'll provide a banana to give for scale. I think that's why those guys were there. But you stop and think about it, it's kind of like, what mad person would put like a manned station like with no protection, no guardrail, no nothing, while this hugely powerful energy beam goes by them so they can stand there in their protective gear and go, oh, there it goes. There it went. Bob, it went by us.
Definitely a workman's comp potential loss.
I mean, that's one of those things that when I saw the movie the first time, I was like, who would do that to anybody?
They didn't have OSHA back then, all right?
It's the Empire.
In the galaxy far,
the
far
dark
away.
Dark side hates OSHA.
Yeah, it's the Empire. I don't think the Empire really cares about workman's safety on the job site. They're busy subjecting the galaxy.
I mean, good Lord. And then they build, wheels, things have wheels, they go fast, they go really fast, and so we're gonna attack like on the
obviously you haven't seen my car.
So we're gonna attack this snow covered base in these huge tank like walkers for some reason when they treads
because they're awesome, so that's
it's just like you look at these things and you're like,
it's an intimidation factor.
Which you have to go, it is a visual medium. They look cool.
It is, to sum that up, it is a movie. It is fiction. Right, and it's about that time. So we want to thank Breskin for letting us
answer my own question.
Okay, answer your own question. Okay. Then.
The character I am most looking forward to, and this is going to be completely counterintuitive to anything I really care about, is the droid.
Oh, yeah.
Because he is not like any other droid we have ever seen in any other Star Wars film. He is a converted Imperial protection droid. And he is really mean, and he is really horrible, and he tells you how it is. Yikes. Unlike all the other droids that sugarcoat everything.
So that is the droid you're looking for.
You'll have to get another dog and name him that, because you've just described
K2 evil personality. That's not very easy.
You've just described your current dog's personality. So we want to thank the good folks at Quad Pod. We want to thank the good folks at PrescottEnews.com. Guy, Lynn, thank you very much. Let's go right back around the room, let everybody know where they can find you, social media, website, all that good stuff.
Deb.
All right, so MakingASceneProductions.com is my daytime job. If you need some videos, head up there. But in relation to this podcast, you want to go to EverybodysHometownGeek.com. Very active on Twitter there. Do a lot of interviews, video interviews, podcasting, all that. So anything geek related. And a little shout out. We are open and accepting of guest bloggers, so hit us up. Thank you.
You just made John Russ day. John, where can they find
you? Okay. Again, you can listen to me on KYCA, 1490 AM, 103.5 FM, and online at kyca.info. You'll hear all the sports going on here in the Tri-City area. For my author stuff, all my books are available on Amazon. And remember, January 3rd, 2017, that will be the debut of my novel with Mark Gardner, War of the Worlds Retaliation. Look me up on Facebook, John J. Rust, and also Twitter, at John J. Rust.
All righty, Berger Mini Group, Henshaw Photography, Northern Arizona Suns, Arizona Rattlers.
Your social media.
Oh, my social media? At Henshaw Photo.
And one time I read a book, and this is the title of it. Les, go ahead.
Dude, and you call me for talking too much? Look at this guy.
You know, if like the problem is everything I have to say is pertinent.
To yourself?
No, to you. You just don't like it because I'm not going dun, 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 dun. Like, anyway, hush.
You got
hush,
the song wrong anyways. Hush, hush.
Well, no, dude, what it, like, I'll call John Williams and get the score, and I'll play it for you on the phone. Anyway, you can find me on Facebook at Leslie Earl Lyman. I will be part of the Danny Rhodes Tribute Band December 26th at Main Stage for the Danny Rhodes 4th Annual Memorial Blues Summit. And I will be putting a podcast up where I will be speaking to his son, Gabriel, probably in the next week or so. If Matt will let it go up after he hears it.
Hey, Guy, jump up there and let us know where we can get Quad Pod and what that's all about. What are some of the features you have on there?
Quad Pod is the Quad Cities podcast portal at quadpodaz.com. What else do you want to know?
What do you got on there? What are we listening to on Quad Pod?
We have a variety of shows besides the obvious news that we pull through PrescottEnews.com and put it into podcast form. We also have a number of shows, as mentioned, which include the Mile High Show, as well as some original shows by Quad Pod, which include things like Asking All Experts. We're going to be calling up and asking problem solution type of conversations with experts in the area. We have Fly Prescott, which is a monthly update about all things at the Prescott Airport. We also have a thing called Let's Clear the Water, which is a podcast covering all the contentious and political issues of water in our region. What else do we have?
And links to your Quad Pod social media is up on the
site.
Quad Pod AZ?
Yeah, Facebook. It's facebook.com/QuadPodAZ.
But links are right there on the website, right?
Absolutely.
And
it's all right there.
The website is again?
QuadPodAZ.com.
All righty. Thanks, Guy.
Thanks buddy.
A lot. Everything for Mile High Show is at milehighshow.com, including that Amazon link where you can order a copy of Sea Raptor by John Rust, one of our local authors. And also on Instagram and Twitter, both at The Mile High Show. We are looking always for future guests, future subjects, and future places to record. So hit us up there and let us know. And that's it. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, hits the screens this coming week, which will be in, when this goes up, it'll be in a couple of days. So December 16th is when you can see that, watch it, and listen to this podcast and find out how little we know about the movie you just saw. Thanks for tuning in. Again, milehighshow.com is where you can find archives, including shows that feature Les Lyman, Matt Henshaw, John Rust, and all the other guests, and hopefully soon one with myself and Deb Gallegos, sit down and talk about her movie, her podcast, without the interruption from the peanut gallery to her right. Thanks for tuning in.